The Gyarados, Nancy, and the male were taken into custody, and an investigation led to their residence in Antioch. A search of the residence revealed a hidden backyard within a backyard. The hidden backyard had sheds, tents, and outbuildings where JC and the girl spent most of their lives. There was a vehicle hidden in the backyard that matched the vehicle originally described at the time of the abduction. The tents and outbuildings in the backyard were placed in a strategic arrangement to inhibit outside viewing and to isolate the victims from outside contact.
She was abducted in front of her house in South Lake Tahoe at the age of 11. Investigation went years without apparent progress until Tuesday when this guy, Gyarado, showed up on the campus of University of California at Berkeley with his two daughters and attempted to get permission to hand out literature. Now, police officers thought the interaction between the older male and the two younger females looked rather suspicious, so they were confronted. They performed a background check on Collar. That check revealed that Gyarado, That check revealed that he was on federal parole for a 1971 conviction for rape and kidnapping, for which he had served time in the federal penitentiary at Leavenworth, Kansas. He then confessed to all that had taken place. Here's a little cut from her stepfather after hearing the news about finding young J.C. Dugard.
The Gyarados, Nancy, and the man.
Let's try that other
clip. My wife called me and basically said, "Are you sitting down?" And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "They found JC." And she paused for a few, 10 seconds, and she goes, "She's alive." And we both cried for about 10 minutes. And we just talked, and she had told me that she had actually talked to JC on the telephone, that the FBI agent called her at work and said that we found JC. And she thought he was kidding at first, and they actually put JC on the telephone. And she asked JC questions, and she told me that JC basically told her that she remembers everything.
What must be going on in JC's head? What about the two kids? She had two kids by this guy, 11 and 15. Joining us this morning, a celebrity life coach and psychologist, Dr. Patrick Juanes from Miami this morning. Dr. Juanes, why didn't she try to escape? In 18 years back there, surely there were times that she could have escaped. What must he have done to her at the age of 11 or said to her that would have kept her in captivity?
Russ, you've raised probably the most interesting aspect of this entire story, and that's what we call the Stockholm Syndrome. In 1973, there was a bank that was under siege, and six people were taken captive, about 6 days later. When the captives were released, the captives did not want to testify against the people that had abducted them and kept them captive, and they were even supporting them. And that later became to be known as the Stockholm Syndrome. That means that there's a unique bond between anxiety, arousal, and attraction. And interestingly, the younger you are, obviously, the greater effect this is going to have. And I don't know if I'm fully explaining this, so let me just go back a step. JC was 11 years of age when she was abducted, so she's still a child, she's still a baby. She hasn't fully developed physically, mentally, or emotionally. Mm-hmm. Then you put her in a situation where her very survival is dependent on the person that's abducted her. So thus, the anxiety, the arousal, the fear turns into this sense of bonding where now JC is dependent on the captor for her survival, and now that twists into a form of bonding and almost attraction. So he automatically becomes the father figure, the authority figure, and she now is under his control.
You know, how do you assimilate her back into society? How many sessions of counseling are you going to have with this young lady to get her head straight now?
Well, you need to look at what condition she's in. Fortunately, based on the reports, she's in relatively good physical condition, although apparently she's never been to a doctor, but the reports say she didn't appear to be malnourished, etc. Her mental and emotional health is going to be a completely different topic, because what complicates it isn't just the 18 years she spent with this man under captivity and under repeated sexual abuse or sexual rape, but also the fact that she's mothered two children to him, which then, of course, complicates the bond that she has with this man and the kind of power that he has over her. The other interesting aspect to this, Russ, is the wife of Gyarado, who was with him when he abducted JC when she was 11 years of age. So there's a good chance that also his wife was under the same sort of, we'll call it a psychological spell of Garrido, and that most likely that his wife, when she was a child, was probably also abused. Because as I've said before on your show, people that are abusers often were abused as children. So they tend to get into the same dynamic, the same pattern. I think my greatest concern wouldn't be just for JC, it'd be for her two children that have been fathered by this man, and how you're going to help them to understand this entire situation.
All right, let me stop you right there. That's a good stopping point, because I wanted to ask you why the maternal instinct didn't kick in to, you know, to rescue the kids, to do something for her kids. I mean, I understand her 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 maybe being under a spell, but at the age of 29, surely she would have done something to, you know, make sure her kids were going to be okay. We'll pick that up when we come back and talk to Dr. Patrick Juanes on News Talk 850 WFTL.
I had given up hope of having her alive. I was in the process of wanting to recover, you know, her body basically, and find out who these people are. I didn't want to pass on and these people have a free ride and get away with this. So that was my hope, was at that point, after these years, is to recover her and prosecute these people. And now to get her back alive, it's like winning the lotto, you know. So we get her back alive and she sounds like she's okay, to a point, I don't know, you know, mentally what she's gone through. And then to have these people in jail is just, it's just fabulous.
All right, that's the stepfather of J.C. Dugard, the amazing and baffling story of this young girl kidnapped at the age of 11 in South Lake Tahoe, California, found Wednesday in a shed in a backyard of this Garrido couple, Philip and Nancy. 29 years she'd been in captivity, had two kids, ages 11 and 15, fathered by this Philip Garrido. We're picking up our conversation with celebrity life coach and Miami psychologist Dr. Patrick Juanes. Yeah, before the break we were talking about this, the kids. It's going to be tough getting JC's head straight, but what about these kids? They've never been outside that backyard. They've never been to a school. They've never been to a doctor. I mean, they have to be totally messed up.
Well, Russ, I don't know that I'd use the word messed up, but I would definitely say that it's going to be very hard for them to become, to automatically be assimilated into society when they haven't been accustomed to interacting with many people outside. They never went to a school. They were schooled at home. We don't know what education they had. But yes, they're going to have a major challenge, because what makes it even more complicated, first, they've been in captivity. Second, they've had very little exposure to the external world. Third, their father is actually a rapist. So for them, it's going to be very, very complicated. A point I wanted to make, Russ, when I used the term earlier before the break about the Stockholm syndrome, that, in very simple lay terms, is explained as falling in love with abusers. Mm-hmm. So it's not completely surprising that JC would have this powerful bond with the man that was the father to her children, and the man that abducted her, and the man that raped her multiple times. The same will also apply to the two children that she mothered, that they'll have this very strange bond with their father, and they may not even know to what extent, you know, their mother was actually abused by him. The other key point about the Stockholm syndrome, or falling in love with abusers, is that it's not limited to just children. Russ, we all know people that have been in abusive relationships or abusive marriages for years and years. But what happens is the anxiety, the arousal, and the attraction all get intermingled, and it's very easy for a person to then fall in love with the very person that's abusing them, and to then fall under their spell or under their power or under their control. That's the greatest danger that affects all of us.
Well, why does the mind do that? Just kind of a survival mode?
The interesting thing is that it's not, well, in the case of a child who's depending for food, water, and shelter on a man, it's very easy for it to become survival mode. But basically what happens is the mind gets completely confused between an intense emotional experience and romantic or attraction and bonding. In fact, I'll just cite another study. In the early 1970s, two psychologists conducted what we call the Shaky Bridge study. Mm-hmm. And that is, the men who met a woman on a high rickety bridge found the encounter sexier and more romantic than those who met her on a low, stable bridge. And even people coming off a roller coaster ride talk about being more attracted to the opposite sex than those who are waiting to get on the roller coaster ride. In other words, any time that we go through an intense emotional experience, we tend to bond or become attracted to the person that's closest to us or that went through it with us. And it, as much as it doesn't serve us in a positive way when that person is an abductor, it serves us in other ways because we tend to bond and develop relationships with people with whom we've had intense emotional experiences. The danger is when that intense emotional experience is actually a negative one.
All right, these kids, 11 and 15, how soon do you think, I mean, how much counseling will they have to go through before they're actually put back into a school situation? You think 6 months, a year, what? What do you think?
Russell, I don't know that I could put a date on it. I think the first step would be to become aware that they've been taken in a very shocking manner, taken from one extreme into another extreme. I think the most important thing is that their mother is close to them, that she's going to be with them step by step, and that the exposure to a completely different world, to society, happens in a very gradual, gentle, and safe way.
Celebrity life coach and Miami psychologist, Dr. Patrick Wanis. Patrick, give us your website.
PatrickWanis.com, and on it I do have some information on the Stockholm Syndrome.
Sounds good. Thank you for being with us this morning on News Talk 850 WFTL. 7:58, 10-minute news sweep, 2 minutes from right now.